Well, as we heard earlier in the half hour, Senator Nick Xenophon is sceptical about the Gillard government's intentions in its latest poker machine reforms, and he says he won't be supporting the legislation in that form in the Senate. Michelle Grattan's in our Parliament House studios. Michelle, good morning.
Good morning, Fran.
Michelle, considering how angry Andrew Wilkie was at the Gillard government when the Prime Minister tore up the original deal she had with him, do you wonder why he came on board here? Does this suggest there is a healing in this relationship at all, that he might be less likely, for instance, to desert the federal government in a motion of no confidence?
No, I don't think there's been a particular healing. I think that his intention has always been to stick with the government on a no-confidence motion, on a basic no-confidence motion that didn't involve gambling. But my impression is that he's been wrestling for some time now with the best way to go on this legislation. He knows that it's inadequate from his point of view. On the other hand, he can't really do anything better, and therefore he's finally jumped to saying he would support it. He seemed to be close to that a month or two ago when he gave a press conference about it, and it's not all that surprising, I think, the way he's gone, although equally it wouldn't have been surprising if he'd have gone the other way.
And not surprising, I suppose, the soundings coming from Senator Nick Xenophon and the Green Senator Richard Di Natale, that they will not be able to support this legislation unless major changes are made. What do you think the hopes are for the Gillard government of getting this legislation through the Senate and into law?
I think it's very hard to tell at this stage. They're obviously playing quite toughly on it, and that may continue, but everything is so uncertain in this parliament, Fran, that you don't make any hard predictions.
All right. Michelle, to other matters now. The Coalition has successfully referred Craig Thompson to the Privileges Committee of the Parliament. It says there's a prima facie case that Craig Thompson, quote, deliberately misled the House in his statement on Monday. What does this mean, Michelle? The Privileges Committee, does it hold public hearings? Is it all behind doors? Or will we have another long public airing of these issues, claims and counterclaims? Witnesses being called, that kind of thing.
It can hold public hearings. On the other hand, it tends to work by a consensus process and tries not to act in a highly provocative way. It's hard to know how this is going to turn out, but I think it's an impossible task for the Privileges Committee. Really, how is it going to test the claims that Craig Thompson has made? It can't replicate a whole inquiry into the issue itself. It can only balance out what's been said on the record, I think, by either side. Anything else would surely be impossible. It may think it's all too hard to, in fact, make those sorts of judgments. It's just very uncharted waters at the moment. But remember, Labor does have an effective majority on this committee, and therefore I think that the government feels that and the difficulty of the task give it some protection in this. And it was sensible, I think, last night for the government to give in and say, yes, we'll go along with this, because otherwise it just seems to be protecting Craig Thompson, and that is fundamentally a very bad look for the government. He's already on the crossbenches by Labor's decision. Why should it be trying to protect him in the public sense?
But as you say, if it has the numbers on the committee, it can recommend this reference in the safety of knowing it has the numbers. But also, this issue will go on publicly because Rob Oakeshott sent your motion against Craig Thompson. It looks as though it'll get debated next week, I believe.
Well, that censure motion, though, is falling over because we saw the rather startling thing yesterday of Andrew Wilkie backing that motion, not only backing it, but seconding it, and then last night saying, no, had a change of mind, talked to senior lawyer, it wouldn't be good to back it, and withdrawing his support entirely and saying he opposed it.
And Tony Windsor, too, I think, has said he'll oppose it.
Well, at least he opposed it all day.
Okay. Michelle Corby, she's had her sentence shortened in an act of clemency by the President of Indonesia. What does this say about the relationship between Australia and Indonesia? On AM, we heard Matt Brown report that Indonesia says this is a reciprocal deal. It's about sending back young Indonesian crew who are on the fishing boats carrying asylum seekers. And last week, we did see the Attorney General announce that at least three Indonesian nationals who had been convicted of people smuggling have been found to be minors, and they will be sent home.
I think this demonstrates the pragmatic nature of the relationship, especially on these sorts of matters. The Indonesians obviously have a card here, and they are hoping to get more of what they want out of all this, and it is good for an Australian who's been held for quite a long time.
And we had many prime ministers lobbying for the release of Schapelle Corby. It's finally worked.
Well, that's right. Well, we're not quite at the end of the story yet, but certainly a lot of progress has been made, and the fact that the Indonesians are very anxious to get their underage people repatriated has, I think, clearly worked to her benefit.
OK, Michelle, thanks very much.
Thanks, Fran.
Michelle Grattan is political editor with The Age newspaper.